The St. Louis County Library System, with its $120 million renovation and replacement program for 19 branches, is moving right along. The project will be three-quarters finished by year's end, and we've asked Kristen Sorth, the County Library Director, to spend a few minutes with us for an update. Kristen, you're a busy lady these days. Lots going on with the library system.
Very much so, but fun things to talk about.
Yeah, and we'll start talking about them right in a moment. The big thing for me is that libraries, as most of us knew them, are no more. They've just changed so dramatically.
I think that the core service is the same, being a place where people can come and find information, but it's also about community and coming to a place where you can attend programs or hear authors or hear music, spend some time, do some research, or run a business, really, using our free Wi-Fi.
When do these kinds of changes begin?
I would say really in the last 15 years or so. I think that it became important for libraries to meet people where they are, and that meant being a place where people wanted to come and stay, not being a place where someone came in and checked out a book and, you know, got out as fast as they could before someone told them to be quiet, kind of thing.
Yeah, you're competing with the other media, and that's a significant competition these days.
Definitely. Definitely.
So how does social media come into the picture with the library system, or does it?
Well, we have a really robust social media presence, and we promote our programs and services through Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And we're always amazed how we may put something just out on Facebook. We had this little Readers Festival last fall, and we didn't do any PR other than by Facebook, and we had 3,000 people show up for the event at headquarters, which it just shows the power of social media, I think, and how it can promote services.
I've been involved, as you know, in some of those programs out there, and the authors, when they come through, or if they've been through and come here for an interview, they love your program out there because they are so well attended, and they run so very well.
I think we are the biggest draw for many authors that are traveling around the United States, and our author series is second to none. It's just amazing and fun, and we have such interesting people come through to share their stories.
Let's talk a little bit about the whole renovation program.
Okay.
I hope my numbers are correct here. You'll have 17 renovated or replaced by the end of this year, right, with a couple more to go.
We'll actually have that's correct. We'll have 17, and we'll have a few more that will be under construction in 2018, and then headquarters will be at the end.
All right. Well, let's talk about you have one opening in June.
We did.
And another scheduled for July and one for September. Which ones are we talking about?
So Bridge and Trails opened in June, and it's been closed for about 7 months. And it's a renovation, so it has a lot of the similar features that our other renovations have. And then actually August 2nd is when Florissant Valley opens, and it's a regional branch. So it's one of our largest branches in North County, and it's going to have a number of amazing features, as will Daniel Boone, which is located in Ellisville, and that'll open in September.
Well, let's talk about Flow Valley, because in promoting this program, I've been saying kids are going to love this.
Yes.
And I'm sure they will.
Yes, I had this conversation. We've been talking for a long time about our children's spaces and that they're just not as dynamic as we would like them to be. And so when we started the designs for these two buildings, we really talked about what we could do to make them destination places for kids. And I actually had a conversation with Jennifer Alardi, who's the Youth Services Specialist at Florissant Valley. She was actually here last week talking about children's books. Mm-hmm. And she said, there's just no destination place for kids in North County. And we started talking about what we could do. And so both Florissant Valley and Daniel Boone will have discovery zones for kids. The Florissant Valley one happens to be sponsored by Emerson, and it is going to have all kinds of interactive features that we feel allow curiosity and play and trial and error and cooperation and all the kinds of things that kids really need to experience that set them up for school and also set them up to be great readers.
What are some of the special features?
Sure. We have pneumatic tubes. It's a wall with tubes. and that the air is forced through them, just as you would think. And you can put scarves or other items through them, and you can see how they travel. All of the tubes are transparent, so you can see things travel through them. There, I was actually there yesterday. There's a giant, I can't describe it any other way than say it's a giant light bright. It's mounted to the wall, and it has, instead of putting pegs in it to change colors, you turn the knobs and you can change colors all over it. And then there's a couple of touch screens where there's apps for kids on there, educational apps where kids can experience all kinds of games and literacy activities on these interactive touch screens. Plus, we have a magnet wall with letters and gears and numbers. And then there's another area that's called the Young Explorers area, and that's sponsored by the Dana Brown Foundation, and that's for younger kids.
Someone mentioned the other day, it sounds like you're competing with a magic house.
You know, that's funny. We do talk about that a little bit, and I do think there's some elements that are very much like the magic house. However, our focus is really on literacy and on getting kids ready to be on reading level by the time they start school. And so all the things we selected really are part of that process. What can we do to prepare kids to go to school? And how can we enhance their world?
Sounds like it might be fairly noisy, Kristen.
Well, it might be, and we're pretty excited about that. At Florissant and Daniel Boone, the whole lower levels are dedicated to kids. So we have the adult areas upstairs, and we've taken some steps to make sure that it doesn't impact the adults that are upstairs who want some quiet time. But I do think it might be a little noisy, but I just think that's, you know, an indicator that they're having a blast.
Is anybody else doing this sort of thing in other parts of the country?
There are many libraries that are transforming their children's areas into places where learning can take place in a fun way with interactive elements. So we really look to several other libraries around the country for ideas on what we should do.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be most exciting indeed. But your focus is not totally on kids. My understanding is you've got rooms set up in certain places for teens. And, of course, you mentioned community rooms for the parents.
Right. We have a really, really cool, I think, teen space at Florissant Valley. It has some really dynamic colors, a laptop bar, furniture that teens would like. And then the branch also has three quiet study rooms, a quiet reading room. It has a commons area with a laptop bar, and then it has a copy center where people can go and scan and fax and do all kinds of business-related activities. Plus, of course, we have public computers and then free Wi-Fi for people as well.
Didn't I see that you're going to be doing some work with 3D? Printers?
We are. We plan in the fall to start what we call a mobile makerspace program, and that is going to allow our branches to check out all kinds of material, such as a 3D printer and other activities for people to do at the branches through programs. And again, it's just an effort to expand people's worlds, to allow them to interact with things that they may not interact with on a daily basis in their homes.
Someone mentioned to me before we went on the air, and I wasn't aware of this, that you have some food programs as well?
We do. We have a great partnership with Operation Food Search, and during the summer, every day at several of our branches, we offer a summer lunch, free summer lunch for kids. Any kids under 18, they can come in and get a free lunch. And on Fridays, we offer Pizza Fridays, so we have big pizza parties for them, and that's sponsored by the Libraries Foundation. And our participation this year is up about 30% from last year. We did add an extra branch, but we're just seeing tremendous participation, and we're glad to be able to offer this service. Lots of studies out there that talk about what it's like for kids in the summer when they don't have access to the lunches that they get during the school year. So we wanted to be able to provide that at the libraries. And it's just a great place. We do programming around the summer lunch program, talk about summer reading club, get people library cards, do, you know, all those kinds of things.
You know, early on in this process, process when you were looking for the funding and the tax to make this all happen, and people got wind that there were going to be some changes at some branches. You know what's coming.
Yes.
You took some hits, folks.
We did.
How does that stand now?
You know, I think that there are still people that have a hard time with change, and to me that just means how much they love their library system. We hear tons of great comments, and then we have, you know, feedback from time to time that people don't like the changes that we've made. Sometimes the comments are, this is too much of a community. This is more of a community center than a library. And our goal really was to provide both traditional library service and then to be something beyond what we were before. So it's been interesting, but for the most part, we're seeing, you know, increases in circulation. We're busy. There's people there that come in and they hang out all day long, kind of like how you would have thought people might have used a Borders or mm-hmm. Barnes & Noble. They're now coming to their library, and that includes people of all ages.
That's because Borders and Barnes & Noble are really going the way of all
flesh.
Yes,
yes. Right. And we have adapted. You know, libraries, I think, are amazing at adapting to change, and they do it rapidly. And St. Louis County Library has really done that in a big way over the last few years. Not only have we changed our branches to really reflect what a great library system we are, but we've also enhanced our programs and services and really tried to be a community resource.
What kind of numbers can you give me with regard to people visiting your libraries?
Sure. I mean, we circulated almost 14 million items last year. So that's a tremendous amount of items that people are checking out. I often get the question about how does it feel to work for an organization that's going to be extinct someday? And I always say, oh my gosh, you should visit a library. When one of our branches opened, we had, you know, thousands of people in on the first day, and people lined up to come in. And that's really been our experience at all of these branch openings, that there are people lined up waiting to come back to their library.
And that's obviously what you're trying to avoid, is becoming extinct.
Absolutely.
With e-books and all the rest of it. Times, they are changing.
They are. And, you know, we have e-books available to our patrons. People with a library card can download all kinds of content that's online, magazines and e-books. And then we launched the local music project earlier this year. And so people also have access to, with a library card, all kinds of great local music that they can listen to on their devices. And we have such a great local music scene here in St. Louis. And we were really excited to be able to offer that through a library card.
You know, going back to the community aspect of this, we've done programs here, particularly in connection with Ferguson and the role that the library in Ferguson played during the Troubles there. It really was a community center, and it was a kind of a safe haven for kids and adults as well.
And we feel that way, and you're absolutely right. I mean, the things that they did was amazing during that time. And we feel the same way about our library system, and that's the same way St. Louis Public Library is. We're just a place where people can come in. We're safe. It's accessible. Nobody really bothers you while you're there. There's great things to do. You can learn, get an education, have fun. And I think that that's just a part of how libraries are evolving to really meet the needs in the community.
Sometimes we hear in the city in particular that they have an issue with homeless people at the library downtown in particular. I think that's been resolved to a very large degree. Is this anything that you have to contend with, people who are not necessarily library friendly, but are just using the facilities for one reason or another?
You know, we do have some issues from time to time, but in general, we are really welcoming to everybody. And as long as people come in and adhere to the library's code of conduct, we don't really mind if they're there. So certainly not on the level that St. Louis Public Library had to deal with certain situations, but we do have those issues from time to time.
Another thing that I heard about in getting ready for this program was something else you're doing that I hadn't heard of, is an adult high school diploma program.
Yes, we are partnering with St. Louis Public Library, which is on a grand scale. We try and do things from time to time together, but this is the first time we've done a huge partnership like this, and we're really excited to do a regional effort. You know, we talk about St. Louis this and fragmentation, and it's fun to be able to do something across districts, library districts. But we're offering a career online high school program to adults in our community that are 25 years of age and older. The program actually starts in October, and both St. Louis Public Library and us, St. Louis County Library, will be fundraising for the scholarship. So the programs are provided by the library system, each library system, the software to do the online program, and then each scholarship is funded through private donation.
What does scholarship involve? What we're talking about?
So a scholarship for each individual is about $1,200, mm-hmm. and St. Louis County Library will be fundraising for 57 scholarships, and St. Louis Public Library will be fundraising for 31, and people apply. There's a pretty extensive application process, and then they have 18 months to complete the program. They can transfer credits from high school. Most people have some credits from high school, and there's a tremendous amount of people in our community that don't have a high school diploma, and there's all kinds of research out there about what that means for an individual or a family or a community. About 55,000 people in St. Louis County without a high school diploma.
Oh, well, as an educational institution, it makes a lot of sense for you to be doing something like this.
It does, and we just we heard about the program. A couple libraries around the country are offering it, and we just thought it would be a great thing to do. We do a lot of programs for early literacy, but there are definitely people in the community that we'd like to reach out to that maybe not they don't see the library as a place where they can come, and these are those individuals.
Only about 30 seconds left. Is there anything that we haven't talked about you want people to know about?
Well, I will say that we're having some great programs for the solar eclipse. So people should definitely go to our website to check it out. We've got watch parties at many of our branches, and we'll be giving out safe glasses at those programs to people that attend those events. So I would definitely encourage people to come out. We have some branches that are on the path. They'll be able to see really well.
People are really starting to get excited about
The
eclipse. In Perryville, Missouri, they're expecting 40,000 to 50,000 people.
Oh, my
because
gosh.
It's in the path of totality, as they call it.
Yes, it's going to be great.
Kristen Sword, thank you so much for
thank
being
you.
With us and bringing us up to speed on all that you're doing.
Sure,
so much.
Thanks for having me.
Great facilities. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.